Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more. The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, Mark Henry, Bully Ray, and I have an amazing interview with Hall of Famer Jerry Briscoe. He talks about the new show Tales from the Territories, which will be focused on Florida. He tells some stories himself, some great tales that he's going to share with the Busted Open Nation. And I also give my on-site report of being at the WWE Performance Center and being part of the NXT kickoff show this past weekend at Halloween Havoc, right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Bully. How are you guys? Bully, you look angry. Why are you so angry?
Why are you so angry?
You know damn well why I am in a bad mood. I have been in a bad mood since NXT Halloween Havoc because you are a mark for yourself. You are a hug-chasing, going into business mark for yourself, who deserves to be verbally decimated on the air today by myself and the entire Busted Open Nation. That's why I'm in a bad mood. But before I go any further, I got to do my shout outs. I got to give a shout out to the Water Buffalo this morning. I got to give a shout out to my boy Ruger. I got to give out a shout out to Uncle Tommy at Five Star Catering in Westfield, New Jersey. I got to give a shout out to Norma drinking Prosecco already. Now back to you.
What about Flounder?
Yeah, Flounder's out. Flounder's out.
Flounder's on life support.
Ixnay on the Flounder, Mark.
Whoa.
we don't talk about Flounder. Flounder's sleeping with the fishes.
Whoa.
Yeah, this thing's Flounder. You know,
We'll get to that.
Tony Soprano
just came out. This thing's.
I don't want to make this about me, but
we're making it about you because you decided to make it about you on the pre-show at Halloween Havoc. Let me set the table here before I put you through it. All right, shut up, LaGreca.
Damn.
You get invited by the WWE to be part of the NXT Halloween Havoc pre-show. You get to be out there with Sam Roberts and who is the girl that you're out there
Mitchell.
With? Mackenzie Mitchell, right?
His new best friend.
We're besties now, Mackenzie and I. Yes, go ahead.
NXT, Shawn Michaels, Hunter, everybody there, they roll out the red carpet for you. They put you on Peacock for the whole world to see. You could have worn anything on that day. Now, if that was me and I was Dave LaGreca representing Busted Open, the show that I created 12 years ago, I'll be damned if I'm not going to wear a t-shirt that says Busted Open. I'm going to wear something that has the logos, the colors, the emblem of the show that I created.
Mm.
And what did you do? You marked out for yourself. You went into business for yourself. And you wore a t-shirt with a giant fathead of yourself on it.
Kind of like the one you're wearing right now.
Instead of going we, you went me. Dude, you have to be kidding me.
All right, are you gonna let me talk?
Actually, no, I can go on for 3 hours about this.
I know you could.
That would make for great radio.
Are you gonna let me talk?
Because I sent out one tweet a couple of days ago, and I have hundreds and hundreds of replies of what should happen to you this morning.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't think that there are many that agree with you on this situation.
All right. Well, we'll find out. Go ahead.
You talk now.
Okay. Yeah. And Mark, I apologize because this show is as much yours as anybody else. And I want to get your opinion on things. But if you don't mind, we got to take, unfortunately, Bully brought this on air. So Bully and I have to take care of some family business at the dinner table, so to speak, with the Busted Open Nation. So, you know, so Mark, if you don't mind for a couple of minutes, I have to retort to what Bully just
said.
Come
on, mind if I retort? And here's the thing.
Now, both of you, Mark and Bully, watched Halloween Havoc on the Peacock Network on Saturday. And Mark,
yeah.
I know you watched the kickoff show with myself, Sam Roberts, who's also a good friend of yours, and Mackenzie Mitchell, who's my new best friend. And you texted me, Mark, hey, Dave, you look good, great job, as well as the Busted Open Nation. Bully, to your point, the Busted Open Nation was very proud of me on Saturday. Now, Bully, you watched Halloween Havoc on Saturday, but what you didn't watch was the kickoff show. You started watching Halloween Havoc at 7:59. Instead of tuning in at 7:30, you decided to start tuning in at 7:59. And then right away, in true Bully fashion, you jumped to conclusions and you started tweeting. If you noticed, everybody was dressed up for Halloween. I made the joke that, hey, you know what? Everybody told me to be me on the kickoff show, so I dressed like Dave LaGreca. If you go back, Bully, and you watch the pre-show, I dropped Busted Open and SiriusXM at least a half a dozen times during that pre-show. So, yes. And by the way, everybody knows that Dave LaGreca and this head, it's no longer my head. This is no longer Dave LaGreca's head, Bully. This is the head of the nation. This is like on the flag. So everybody knows that this Dave LaGreca, it's like Madonna. They might as well not even call me Dave LaGreca anymore.
If you're going to wear
Mr. Busted Open by now.
If you're going to wear a t-shirt with a head on it, why didn't you wear the Hydra? Why didn't you wear the t-shirt that had your head?
Hydra. There is no Hydra shirt.
How come you didn't wear the shirt that had your head, Mark's head, Tommy's head, and my head?
There's no shirt that has the
Hydra. Yes, there is.
Wait, okay. When you get it to me, you know what? The next time I'm on.
Send it.
And the next time I'm on, if they welcome me back on, I will wear the Hydra t-shirt, Bully.
You had the opportunity to be a walking billboard for Busted Open, have the Busted Open name out there for everybody to see for a half an hour on the pre-show. But no, you had to wear a shirt with your head. It's not like looking at your real life fat freaking head is enough.
I do have a big head.
You had to wear the one with your face
Bully,
on the t-shirt.
He followed my advice. I said, go and be yourself.
That's right.
No, being himself is his own personality. I understand that.
It's Halloween. I dressed up like Dave LaGreca.
You should have had the Busted Open t-shirt on. I don't care how many times you dropped the name.
I dropped it a lot.
Because at the end of the day, what people don't realize about you is you really are a mark for yourself.
Well, that is not
true. Look at the smile on his face, Mark.
You
know what, Bully? I've seen you on the bump. I've never seen you wearing a Busted Open t-shirt on the bump.
I wear Busted Open merchandise a lot. I never wear my own merchandise when I'm doing anything. Yeah, if I'm in the ring, I'm wearing my gear.
Well, this is my version of being in the ring.
No.
Yes, this is my version of being in the ring.
Busted Open was a lot more popular before your big head ever was.
Mark just left. Mark got so angry, he threw his headset down and he walked away. Like, I mean, this was my version of being in the ring. I don't compete in the ring. I'm not a wrestler. Look at that. Mark's got the busted open Dave LaGreca roast t-shirt.
But you know what? Even that shirt would have been a better one because at least it says busted open on it with your head. If you would have wore that shirt, I would have had nothing to say because it has the busted open logo and it has your head on it. But
you know
what? You decided to wear a shirt of just your head. Nothing else.
By the way, you make a really good point. I can't argue with that one. You know, Mark, that you just brought, that shirt probably should have been the shirt that I wore. Because it's the best of both worlds. It has my head and it says busted open.
Dave, you know, I always follow your lead. I'm like, Dave, you taught me a lot. You know, you brought me into this world. And I always follow your lead, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Bully's right. The shirt that I just had that had the busted open on it might have been a more suitable option.
Okay. Well, listen.
I love me some meat too.
You live and you learn. Okay. It was a Halloween episode, Halloween Havoc. I dressed up on myself. I wore the fat head. I'm sorry if I
don't apologize.
Offended anybody. Obviously, you know how much I love Busted Open. It's the show I created, for crying out loud. And for me, you know, I thought I did the nation proud. Mark, I at least thank you for tuning in. Bully on intentionally didn't start watching until 7:59. He started watching at 7:59.
I was on the West Coast. I was on the West Coast, and I was at the Impact television tapings. So once again, Mark, some of us, and I'm not talking about Mark Henry, I'm talking about Dave LaGreca, the Mark. Once again, Mark, okay, it can't always be about you. It was about you for a half an hour on the kickoff show because you decided to wear a t-shirt with only your head on it.
What you're basically saying is
the name of the show does not matter. The other hosts on the show does not matter. This is my show. It's all about me. I'm only wearing my head. It's not like myself or Mark or Tommy or anybody else that's involved in the show helped get you to the dance. It was like, no, fuck them.
That's not true. That's a little strong.
Your actions,
that being said,
louder than words. F them, I'm wearing a t-shirt of only my head and my face. Not the brand of the show, not the logo of the show, not the other hosts on the show who have considerably more accolades than you do. You could have wore the four-headed Hydra.
Dave, own it.
I don't have a four-headed Hydra.
I say own it. Own it, man. Hell yeah, that's what I did. They invited me. They didn't say, hey,
not you're a little out of line because I got invited too.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know.
If I was there, I would have had a buck. Listen, Tony Khan hired you and the Big Show for one reason. So you could walk around with AEW merchandise on. Just so those AEW letters can be huge.
Well, that's bullshit.
But my point is,
we call it bullshit on people.
My point is,
I'm not a walking billboard.
I want the world's strongest man wearing my AEW logo. I want the largest athlete in the world wearing my logo. All I'm asking here is for Dave LaGreca, the guy who invented the show, to wear the t-shirt that says Busted Open. Would that have been asking too much?
You know, I don't think you understood the theme of the show, Bully. I don't think you understood the theme of the show. I think you listen. I think you're a little out of line. I think you're just a little bit out of line here. I mean, I love you to death. I actually wanted to start the show about how much I think you're, you know, being accused of being a dishonorable person when you've been nothing but honest and honorable. And I think you're being a little over the top here to start Busted Open this morning. And you know what? I got to be honest with you. I was kind of hoping that I come on the air today, Mark and you would maybe compliment me a little bit, good job, or maybe be critical where I needed to be critical.
but you're like really angry about this t-shirt thing. I thought I did Busted Open Proud on Saturday.
Nobody's angry, you gaslighting hump. Okay.
You sound a little angry. Nobody's
Mark, you like that when I call him a hump, right?
When was the last time you heard somebody get called a hump?
That's one of my words from back in the day. Call Hurricane up. Get him on the phone. He'll tell you. Hurricane, Jericho, and Christian. They all know that's one of my go-to words. You hump. Anyway, I'm not angry. All right? What I am is I'm calling you. You love to call Tommy Dreamer a fraud.
He is a fraud.
What you are, sir, is the biggest fraud in the history of Busted Open.
I thought you would be on my side.
Things too. Bully.
Yeah, you call Tommy things too. And by the way, I think honestly, after watching Impact Wrestling, some of what Bully said is a little bit
might
justified.
Be right.
It might be right because Tommy actually called out Bully on TV about like being a bad guy. Like you guys are friends, and he calls him out like being a bad guy. And like that's a
yeah.
Little,
what the hell is
Tommy
that?
Tommy was a little bit out of line on Impact Wrestling, and I hope everyone's watching Impact Wrestling on Access because the story right now that's going on with Bully is pretty phenomenal.
You need to tune into that. Like, I'm looking at Tommy like a little, like a jealous brother. You ever seen like one of those shows, like the soaps, the stories?
The stories. My mom's stories.
And the brother is like, but I want to be the king of the family. That's what it seems like. It's almost said, I'm almost cussed like that. It's messed up.
Well,
so you're saying Tommy's a little jelly.
A little bit. It's not even jealousy. It's not jealousy.
You say Tommy is a little jelly, or it looks like terrible. Tommy ate a little jelly.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Stop it.
Here we
it,
go.
And it would
have
been a little. Stop it.
Because jam don't shake like that.
Yeah, that's so good.
All right. This is out. Can I at least... All right, I think
yeah,
I did
sure.
A great
do whatever
job
you want. You're wearing
the
same shirt today that you wore on Halloween at Halloween.
That's how I know you didn't watch because this is not the same shirt. This is a much bigger head on this shirt than one. You didn't watch. You didn't watch because you don't care. You don't care about me at all.
Whatever.
I think you made your feelings very, very clear here. But you know what? What I do want to talk about is Halloween Havoc, the experience of being at NXT. And of course, everybody knows that I love the Busted Open Nation. We'll continue the discussion. Myself, Mark, and Bully are back right here on Busted Open.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
If you missed anything this week on Mad Dog Sports Radio, I got you covered. It's Mike Babchick's Morning After, where we play back the best clips of the week and recap in a way you have never heard before. It's a roast like no other, and no one is safe. Not Mad Dog. Not anyone. This is a Morning After walk of shame you actually won't regret. You can find Mike Babchick's Morning After on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
That was my first time at the Performance Center, and it was pretty damn impressive at that Performance Center.
Man, so, what a place.
Yeah, Mark. It's pretty incredible, Mark.
Not just the rings and the medical facilities, the gym is incredible, but the thing that I feel like is probably the most impressive thing is the media room. Where you go in and you have the big round table and you have the multiple rooms that they do all the editing and a lot of the ads and everything that's done from the actual studio. They don't do it at Titan Tower in Connecticut. They do it right there. They have all the things that you need to run a pro wrestling company in that one building. It's very impressive.
Dave, what stood out to you the most about your experience there? Was it how let's put it this way. How were the boys towards you?
Everybody came up to me, thanked me for being there. Just they were very happy for me being there, giving exposure to the NXT brand. Shawn Michaels came up to me and said, thank you for coming and thank you for being a part of it. Shawn Michaels even came up to me well after everything and said, thank you, and said that he loved what I did on Saturday night on the kickoff show. They couldn't have been nicer to me. And the one word I would use is respectful. You know, and Mark and Bully, you both talk about being in, you know, in the locker room at shows. And, you know, you two guys as legends and veterans and Hall of Famers, you know, going up and obviously younger wrestlers approaching you. Or Bully and Mark, you talk about going into a company's locker room for the first time and you go up to some of the wrestlers that are part of that locker room. And then here I am. I'm not a wrestler. I'm just a guest. I'm a visitor into this world. And they couldn't have been more respectful, more generous with their time. It was pretty incredible. And the one thing that gave me goosebumps is that there is like a staircase, like a hallway leading up to like the main part of the performance center where the rings are and where everybody's going to basically go to work. And going from like the locker room down into that area, in the staircase it's littered with pictures of Pat Patterson and Nature Boy Buddy Rogers and Bobo Brazil and Freddie Blassie. And then right above the doorway before you walk into that main area is a picture of Dusty Rhodes. And it was like, wow. And it's like, you know, you hear that about like Notre Dame, like, you know, they have that sign right above the doorway before you enter the field. Like,
play like a champion today.
Yep. Yep. That's what it felt like. You know, like that was pretty incredible and gave me goosebumps. It's like, you know, if you're walking down that staircase, you know, the legends that have been, you know, that have founded this company, the legends that have made this company, that have given you a stage to now perform on here in 2022 and learn. And then, but it's like also like, all right, these are the faces I'm going to see just before I go to work. So this is the example that's being set forth for me. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, this is a standard to live up to.
Yes.
And I don't think that any of us don't walk the hallways of any wrestling facility and you see the greats, you see the champions, you see the guys that got over before you had an inkling or a dream of getting over, and the guys that you studied and replicated, and you don't get that feeling, Dave. Like, yeah. I always got emotional and stuff anytime, like Hall of Fames, and you see the Hall of Fame caliber guys in the room. You know, like, we're going to have Gerald Briscoe on the show later on, and he's always been one of those guys to me, you know, mentored me a lot. He, you know, always, you know, sometimes he had to tell me where I was wrong and wasn't nice about it, but I would take it because I know that he proved that he's got skins on the wall. And, you know, it's a great thing to be able to pay respect to those greats.
And, you know, and before I got up to that platform to do the pre-show, and, you know, we're having some fun here, you know, Bully with my shirt. But, like, I literally walked up those stairs and I was hyperventilating because it was, and it wasn't like there was a moment right before that kickoff that I thought I was going to pass out. And it's not about being live. I'm live here every day with you guys. It's not about being on TV. Like, after I walked down that hallway, I started thinking about you guys. Like, when I was walking up the steps to that platform to do the show, I started thinking of you, Mark, and you, Bully, and Tommy, and everybody that's a part of this show. Like, I'm representing you guys. Like, if I go up there and I do a bad job, as you know, everybody knows me from this show. Like, I don't know. I think it was walking down that hallway that got me thinking about this show.
And I started thinking about, man, this is like a big responsibility to represent this show, because I do this show with Hall of Famers and icons. Like, I'm representing you guys. And I felt like that's the same for these future WWE superstars. Like, they have to uphold and to see those faces. So I know it sounds a little bit like emotional, but like, I was really starting to hyperventilate because I was thinking of you guys. Like, that's a great responsibility to represent you guys. I hope, it wasn't lost on me on Saturday night.
And what you are experiencing in that moment is the adrenaline shot. Now, remember, I've told you about times during my career, Dave, that has happened to me. Imagine that feeling times 100 before you're about to go through that curtain in front of 20, 30, you know, 100,000 people. That feeling of, oh my God, this is huge. The hyperventilating, the I might pass out, and having to control that. And like you said, you're going out there, you're going into the WWE atmosphere. You have two WWE Hall of Famers on this show. I think, you know, busting your balls about your t-shirt is one thing. It was a huge deal for you to be there representing the show. It's a huge deal for the WWE and NXT to invite you in and put you on their show. They didn't just invite you in the back. They didn't just give you a ticket to the show. They invited you on their pre-show to give your opinions on what we were going to see on Halloween Havoc, just like you give your opinions here every day. So I, you know, over the years, we've wanted to be more involved with NXT and with the WWE. So I think this is a great positive step forward for the relationship of Busted Open and NXT.
Well, yeah, Dave, also, that's not an uncommon thing. One of the most common things is you have to pee really bad to walk through that curtain. And I know guys, there's garbage cans. I know guys that have just had to pee in the garbage can. I've seen guys vomit. And then all right, I'm good. But the number one thing that happens, and it happens to us all, you get blown up. You can walk through that curtain, Dave, and before you get to the ring, you can be like this, because you stop breathing. Referees tell guys all the time, all right, come on, breathe. Because you get so caught up in the moment in your character that you stop breathing. Voluntarily stop breathing.
I thought I was going to pass out.
Yeah, like you stop like breathing. That's what happened.
It was like when, you know, they did the, you know, the, they showed the signature, like, cause you see the monitor. So they show that signature, the then, now, forever, that every fan that's listening to this has seen a million times, breathing. Right? Like, I saw that signature, guys, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was like, I'm going to embarrass myself on TV, because the first thing they're going to see when the camera goes on is me falling backwards, passing out. Like, all I'm thinking in my head is like, don't pass out. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Busted Open under podcast when you sign up. Busted Open under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This is Adam Schein, host of the Adam Schein Podcast, here to tell you you can listen to my podcast all year round. I'll give you my NFL picks against the spread, give you fantasy advice all season long, while being joined by the best guests in all of sports. He's Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers.
This is what I expect. You know, I expect to play well every year.
We release episodes of the Adam Schein Podcast every week. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast or listen on the SXM app, included with most subscriptions.
The Adam Schein Podcast.
Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. We bring in the one and only Mr. Jerry Briscoe. Sir, how are you this morning?
You know, I'm smarter than what an old man looks like. So we got back on.
We appreciate you being a part of the show this morning. There's so much to get into, and it would be impossible. We would need a week's worth of shows to talk about your career and the influence that your career has had on the world of pro wrestling. But you're a big part of the show that we're going to watch tomorrow night with Tales from the Territories. And when you talk about that Florida territory that you were such a big part of, what's the first thing that you think of when you think of Florida and that territory?
Talent, just talent surrounding me. And boy, was we ever blessed out here to have the amount of talent we had out here. And it wasn't just, you know, a streak. It was maintained through decades of Eddie Graham promotion down here, the respect that Eddie Graham had, and the brilliance that Eddie Graham had, where he could take an old college boy like me and turn me into something that people wanted to see. So I was just blessed to have a million guys around me that wanted to help, and a promoter that saw a little spark in me somewhere, somehow, and was able to give me that baton and let me run a little bit.
Dad, who was it like your top 10 guys?
Oh, man. Well, the guys I've been in the ring with are guys that I just worked with, partnered with.
Guys that you work with at Florida Championship.
Well, you got to start with the Funk Brothers. I mean, you know, without the Funk Brothers and without the Briscoe Brothers, I don't think there'd be Funks or Briscoes out there. But that combo just was one of those combos. You had four collegiate athletes. You had a couple of football players and a couple of wrestlers that like to compete. And when you get somebody that likes to compete, and you like to compete, that's a magic combination. You guys know that. You guys are both competitors in the ring. So you guys enjoyed it more when somebody was out there challenging you than when somebody was out there not challenging you. So it raises your level when to compete people like that. So you got to start out with the Funk. Then, you know, you go to Don Morocco and Hall of Famer, you know, the Funk were Hall of Famers. And then they go to Steve Kern and Mike Graham, who were two guys that, you know, that challenged you every time you stepped in the ring with them. So there was just a plethora of talent that I was fortunate enough to step in the ring with.
Jerry, you were just talking about Eddie Graham. What made Eddie Graham such a unique and special promoter?
Well, it's the way Eddie looked at talent. It's the way Eddie realized and you know, we'll cover a little bit tomorrow night in his Tales from the Territory. And by the way, Dwayne Johnson put a crew together up there with Vice TV, that the producers that came in, they just didn't have a couple of questions, a generic question to ask you. They dug deep in there. But what made Eddie special was Eddie was one of these guys that you had to get back to the territory. You had to get back to the community. So he had you out there. He had you exposed to different people that weren't just a hardcore wrestling fan. We went to sports meetings. We went to high schools. We spoke. He took so much advantage of guys like me and my brother and other guys I mentioned. But Eddie had that thing. And Eddie, if you go back and you trace Eddie's career, there are three different phases in Eddie Graham's promotional career. One, when he came down here and took the territory over, it was basically a summertime territory. They only ran half the year. But he saw that the snowbirds coming down to South Florida, so he opened that up. But he, in the beginning, he knew he had to have something to excite him, so he had no blood and guts. Then as his kids started getting older and getting into amateur wrestling, then he changed his philosophy again. He changed the philosophy. I'm going to get athletes in here and build up the wrestling programs in the high schools. Then he brought me and Bob Roop and Jack and all these guys that had a collegiate background. Then, you know, as times were changing, he saw that the need to change. So he went back to the blood gut with the Dusty Rhodes and the Paxson Nams and the hill type territories. So Eddie was smart enough to see what the society was wanting and how to blend all his talent in. So he had three different modes of operation down here in Florida. He was very a brilliant man.
Paxson Nams. Dave, wow. I told you that. I used to love that dude when I was a kid, man.
Yeah, he was fearful, man. He had a head on him about like this. And one of the first things that, you know, that pro wrestling had ever done out of a studio is Gary Hart took him out to a beach one time, and there were rocks out there on the beach, and Paxson had a hand kind of like you and Bubba, Mark, and it was just gigantic. It was a ham hock. He'd take rocks and start squeezing them. They went out and they filmed this for an outside vignette and aired it on our TV. Folks had never seen anything like that before. And this guy become one of the most fearful guys ever. I don't know if I cover this and tell the territory, but one night, Air Florida used to have like a midnight flight from Miami to Tampa. You can get the damn thing for like 18, 19 bucks back in those days. So there was always a race from Miami Beach to the airport to try to make that airplane. So one night, Paxson was working with Dusty Rhodes. Jack and I are on the match before. So we get out there. We're already on the plane. All of a sudden, Paxson gets out of the car and he's running. Paxson had, of course, bladed during the course of the match, so he had the Band-Aid wrapper, but he still had that old blood trickling down. So, man, he come running on that airplane, you know, out of breath and a sweatsuit, blood trickling down. I was sitting across the aisle from these two hippie boys, you know. I think they were had partaked in the weed a little bit down in South Florida down there. As Paxson got on, Paxson started coming toward. I watched those guys' eyeballs, and they were like that blood dripping down Paxson. You know, here's this freak anyway. He brought it down the aisle. And with blood dripping off of him, he sat down in the aisle in front of him. He got elbowed him. Doo, 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 one, two. You know, they were going out of their mind. So it was quite a trip down there.
You know, you mentioned something that I don't think Florida or the Graham family get enough – you know, really get enough compliments about, and the influence that they had. Because you talked about the vignettes, and they used a lot of vignettes, whether, you know, it was Kevin Sullivan and the Purple Haze. Like, they did an excellent job of having those vignettes to introduce you to characters and storylines.
Yeah, yes, they did. And the thing that enabled that was Eddie Graham had his own studio. Back in the old days, you know, people did their TV out of TV studio, where you put 50 in it. So Eddie made the investment in his company. He bought this building and he transformed it into a studio, which we could only get 75 to 100. But the way Eddie, the creativeness of the Eddie and the producer, the way they shot it, it looked like a full Coliseum building there. So he had that appearance. So we were able to do all of our TV inside a controlled environment. So he was able to go out, and we had so many guys coming in and out. Florida was blessed, you know, because everybody wants to come to Florida in the wintertime. So guys were taking off from the north up in Vince Senior territory. They'd come down. Guys from Minnesota would come down. And they'd bring those ideals, and Eddie always had that open mind where he would listen. So he was able to figure out, hey, man, if we change our style a little bit, just don't do everything in this confined area, and we go out, we got nature land out here in Florida, yep. But let's go out and use it. So Eddie was bright enough to figure out, I need to do this. So he kind of, everybody says we pioneered this, we pioneered that. You know, we probably didn't pioneer, but we were definitely one of the first to use it, you know.
You know, one thing that we, like, I think of when I think of Florida and the Legends Roundtable on the WWE Network and On Demand did a great job of really covering a lot of the territories back over a decade ago. And we've had Bob Roop on this show before. And I think a lot of fans, younger fans who didn't get to experience wrestling during the territories or even wrestling, you know, pre the 90s, about that, you know, fans like me believed,
You know, we believed in the magic. We believed in Mystique. We believed that everything that we're watching was 100% real. And I think, like, Bob Roop in that Florida territory, if there were new wrestlers that were going to come in, you had to show them that, hey, even if they didn't make it, they were going to believe in that everything that happened in that ring was 100% genuine.
Well, Eddie was like that. I mean, you know, Eddie had a deal down there. You could go out, if you got in a fight and you won, you could come back to work. But if you went out in a bar and you got in a fight and you got your butt kicked, you better just go home, pack your bag, and keep on traveling, because Eddie would send you out of here. I mean, he was that way. It was back in the day where kayfabe was really, really strong, and guys respected that. We'd go to a bar, and half the guys would be on the other side and half the guys would be on this side. And if you cross that line, Eddie would know about it that next morning, and he'd call you into the office there and say, hey, dude, you know, out of your pocketbook, out of your paycheck, you can get fine. So he was really serious about keeping kayfabe down there. And that's what really enhanced the territory.
Jerry, you and Bradshaw have a podcast together, one that I was very happy to be on. Did you get a chance to see Bradshaw on Monday Night Raw last week?
Yes, and you know, it goes back, and Mark, you can testify to this, white man can't dance, you know. John, just not that one. Yeah, John, I think he's going to add a little bit to Baron there, and Baron's a tremendous talent, a tremendous athlete. And he needs a spark. And what better spark to give him than my podcast partner, JBL.
And I think
even though he got on Oklahoma really bad that week, and as Mark Henry can probably testify, probably mad at me, you know, that was the Sooners. You know, they weren't playing the Cowboys. Cowboys are a different team. They played the Cowboys as
fast. All right, stop it.
Stop. I knew I'd get that. I had enough. So that tells you who won the game right there.
Damn it.
And again, Tales from the Territories tomorrow night on Vice, centered around the Florida territory. And Mr. Briscoe, I have one last question, because you were kind of ahead of the curve in a lot of ways when it came to 1984. And you saw the business start to change, especially with Vince McMahon and Vince McMahon going national. Were you aware that, boy, this was this territory system that we kind of were a big part of for a long time because of cable TV was about to fall apart, and then going national was key back then in 1984?
What a great question. And yes, you know, during that time period, territories were struggling. The ones that weren't struggling was really the ones that were kind of really set and talent. And so Carolina was doing good. Georgia was doing good because of TV, and not many others were doing good. Texas was doing world class, of course, so you can't leave them out. They were knocking everybody's socks off because they're, but once again, it was TV. We'd heard the rumors that Vince was going to do. My brother and I we like to think we're very progressive business people, mind-wise. So we saw what was going on with that cable TV. And I'd actually quit wrestling before I went to Carolina and turned heel with Ricky and Jay, because I wanted to get into the promotional side of the business. I was just starting my family and all that. So I was wanting to kind of get off the road and kind of enjoy a family life. So I started doing the promotion. So I went to work for Georgia Championship and the Superstation. Every week, and I, as a promoter, every week I'd get a book of a routing book where cable was growing. And when I first started there, that cable book was probably, you know, a quarter of an inch thick. In less than 6 months, that cable book had grown to like 3 or 4 inches, all the cities that cable was penetrating in. It was a brand new thing. And we were going into these markets that there were no promotions. The reason we chose Michigan and Ohio, because she could close up doors there and he couldn't draw anymore. And he owed all these buildings and radio stations, TV stations, tons and tons of money. So it was kind of hard to get in there. So we had to develop a system to get in, but we got the doors open and we're doing great business. And we're selling out everywhere that we're going off that TBS TV. And my brother and I started thinking, you know, this is the time, if we're ever going to make a move, this is the time for business. Because we would, on the tail end of the national TV back in the 50s and 60s over Dumont TV and all that. So we knew there was already a blueprint out there for Vince to follow too. And we kept hearing rumbles. This is what Vince Jr. is wanting to do. This is what Vince Jr. is wanting to do. So we started talking, you know, let's go that. Our other business partner, the NWA, was so tight with each other. They did not want to expand, and they didn't want to encroach on another guy's territory, which they had that mm-hmm. brotherhood, which I'm really, really proud of that brotherhood. But, you know, it's a business, and if you're going to be in business, you're in business to make money. You're in business to go forward, not to stay stationary. So that's kind of the mind thought we had. We saw Vince, we were wanting to do it, but we ran into trouble with our partners, and so we found a partner that wanted to do it.
And really quick, and I appreciate the answer and the honest answer, and it's an education for fans like me. But you know, you hear all these myths and rumors. Like, were you afraid at that time? Like, because like you just said, there were certain parameters that weren't crossed, and you crossed it. Like, was that a scary time for you and your brother?
Yes, it was. We received threats. I mean, after the sale, we received all kinds of threats. And the thing that I didn't mind the physical threats or anything like that, because, you know, we could take care of ourselves. But when I was, my wife started getting phone calls, you know, about things. Then my business partner at the body shop started getting phone calls, you know, about how undermined we were. That's what really upset me. It wasn't the personal stuff. I mean, you can handle, Bubba can handle a personal, Mark can handle that personal stuff. We're not afraid of personal stuff. Come and get it if you want it, in other words. But when they start affecting your family and your business associates, yeah, one time when we got them up, and hopefully tell the territory we'll get into this one day and we can hear the whole story. Where it's a fascinating story, but yeah, we were worried because you got to, even when you're cocky like we were, you got to take some of that stuff and put it in your mind and be aware of your environment.
Well, Mr. Briscoe, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. Can't wait to watch the show tomorrow night on Vice, Tales from the Territories, revolving around Florida. The podcast that you have with JBL is absolutely fantastic. And thank you for giving us the time this morning. We truly appreciate it. Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.